You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
I have been your summer intern this entire summer, but for those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Marilyn. I am one of the summer interns over the summer alongside Anna and also Andrew. But I'm also, I used to be a member of HSM. I graduated from HSM in 2024, and I also graduated from Western Christian High School in 2024 as well. My family is very involved in Purpose. So both my parents, who are actually in the back right now, they are both the leaders of Celebrate Recovery here at Purpose. Yes. And my brother is one of the life group leaders for, I believe it's eighth grade boys now in junior high ministry. So yeah, my family loves Purpose, and I'm so blessed to be up here with you guys. For those of y'all who don't know me, instead of other than like my social life and my family life and just fun things I like to do outside of just being with my friends, a big portion of my life is dedicated to softball. And so I like to kind of introduce it a little bit. So I actually had the opportunity during my junior year in college to be able to have my first and next 3 years after this to be able to spend it at Dartmouth College. And I got the opportunity to be able to play D1 collegiate softball. And it has been such a blessing because I just finished up my first year as their starting catcher. So that was very, very exciting. I was very blessed to be able to spend that there. And I think that, oh yeah, here it is. So on the left, that's my entire team. And then the right is my freshman class. And honestly, I am just so blessed to play with these amazing and such talented and hardworking girls. Like, guys, these girls are so hardworking and so just, they love the game and they're so passionate about it. And I'm just so blessed to be able to play along with them. And although softball, honestly, there are so many highs about it. There are so many highs playing the sport. Being able to start was absolutely amazing. There were also a lot of mental struggles as well. I was mentally drained by the end of the season, but also physically drained as well. But honestly, that just showed how hard the Lord was working through all of it. And throughout those highs and lows of softball, I am just so glad to be able to have been a light on this team for Jesus. And to be able to have played with these girls, also specifically play for Jesus on this team, and that I know going into this sport that I am not just playing for the world. I'm not playing for the world. I'm playing for Jesus. I'm playing for the kingdom of God. I'm playing for someone higher. So playing for Jesus Christ. So honestly, it has been such a blessing. And these girls have pushed me so hard, but it has been the best because they pushed me both academically and athletically. And just being surrounded by such hardworking and passionate softball teammates has allowed me to rise to new challenges every single day. And I am so blessed that these girls have not just pushed me on the softball field to give my 100% every step I take, but also have pushed me to play for the team, not just play for myself, but play for the team, play for my family and my friends who have prayed for me to get this far, but most importantly, have supported me and encouraged me to keep following Jesus. And I'm just so grateful for that and just how much they've pushed me to go farther. So I can't wait to see where these girls go, and I'll continue praying for them every single day. But other than that, I actually had the opportunity to make more friends outside of softball. And so in the next slide, I actually got to meet some of my three closest friends at Dartmouth. So these girls from next to me are Oni, Jade, and Playwan. So the two girls next to me, Oni and Jade, they were actually seniors at Dartmouth. And they are some of the most encouraging and the most joyful girls I've ever met. And before I even got into Dartmouth campus, well, I think it was the first week I got in Dartmouth, they had DM'd me on Instagram, and they were like, hey, we would love to have you, and we'd love to invite you to Christian Union, which is one of the Christian groups on campus. And originally, I had never thought of going to Christian Union, but then I remember that one of my best friends out in Dartmouth, her name's Eden, she is absolutely incredible. She actually invited me as well to go to Christian Union. She's in my same grade. And she heard about it, and we both went together, and it was one of the biggest blessings. And I had, once I arrived at Christian Union that first night, I remember that I had met some of the most loving, compassionate, and Christ-centered people. On the next slide, we have my freshman girls' Bible study. And these girls are just absolutely incredible. And there is something so deeply special about gathering together as women to seek the heart of God. And this Bible study group isn't just about learning scripture, but it's also about growing in love, walking in truth, and strengthening one another through every season. Each of these girls brings something so unique and irreplaceable about the body of Christ. And I am just so thankful that they reflect the beauty and body of Christ as well. And I couldn't be more grateful for them. So yeah, that's a little introduction of me. So as you guys saw before, my sermon title is called Pour My Love on You. And I just want to encourage you guys to jump right into it. So if you have your Bibles, please feel free to open it up to Luke 7. And we're going to start on verse 36. Awesome. Okay, so Luke 7, 36, we're starting off. Jesus was actually invited into one of the Pharisees' houses. So in verse 36, 38, it says, "When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisees' house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisees' house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them." So before we jump into what this passage actually means, I wanted to jump into what actually is being said here. So I wanted to focus specifically on when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So obviously, like, throughout Jesus's ministry, Jesus was not really well liked by the Pharisees due to them believing that he was going against the law, and them believing that he wasn't following the law, or he was being a blasphemer. But I really wanted to focus on the word invite here. So the word invite used in this context isn't just spoken as inviting someone, "Oh, come here, I'll give you food, we'll have a good talk and everything." No, this word invite comes from the word eroto, which actually means to interrogate. So the original intentions by this Pharisee, and his name is Simon the Pharisee, and Simon had invited Jesus not just to invite him to have dinner with him and to talk with him, have a good conversation. No, it was literally to question him and to interrogate him. And so going to that, we want to go into the first point of my sermon, and I wanted to talk about how when we worship Jesus, we should not expect anything in return. I'll say that one more time. When we worship Jesus, we should not expect anything in return. To have a relationship with Jesus, it's not a business transaction. You can't come to Jesus and only give one-third of yourself and expect everything back. For example, you can't just worship the Lord and then just be like, "Oh, like, Lord, if I raise my hands right now or if I do this, then you'll answer this prayer about my family. If I pray to you now, if I worship you now, then you're going to have this guy or girl that I like me back as well. Or you're going to help me win this game or hit a home run, in my sense." But that's the thing, though, is that the Lord doesn't work in ultimatums. The Lord wants all of you. And you cannot give only a part of yourself to Jesus when he gave up his entire life for you. In verse Matthew 16, 24 through 25, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it.'" Following Jesus doesn't just mean giving up just your sins, just your worst parts of yourself. It also means giving up the best parts of yourself, your desires, your comforts, your control over your own life. It's not about living for ourselves as Christians, but it's also about laying down our lives daily in obedience and trust to God. jumping back into the verse, it also says that the woman brought out something called an alabaster jar of perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet. Now, an alabaster jar of perfume isn't just some cheap perfume or oil that you can find at, like, a store. No, this jar of perfume was held in by alabaster stone, which was the most precious, which held only the most precious perfumes and was extremely expensive. This was only used during ceremonies or to be admired by its translucent beauty for its beautiful white stone. The sinful woman, it's described that the sinful woman did not just sprinkle a little bit or just pour a tiny bit out. No, it's described that she poured the entire thing on his feet, not expecting a single bit of it to come back. Also, since this perfume was held in by stone, it was sealed in also by stone. And so when she had to give the perfume in the jar, she had to break the jar, meaning that when she poured the perfume, she knew that she would not receive any bit of it back and that she wasn't going to get this perfume back, and it probably cost her entire life saving. This perfume was not something that you can just give for monthly wages. No, this perfume probably cost her a year's wages, maybe even more. And she knew that she was going to lose it. But she didn't care because she just gave it to show her love and devotion to Jesus. And this alabaster jar perfume probably was the most expensive and the most precious thing in her life, and that she didn't care and she just gave it all to the Lord. Now, you might be wondering, why worship Jesus if there is nothing good about it or if I can't get anything back in return? In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live is in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the true gift of worship. It's not, oh, if I answer this one prayer, that's the gift, or one other gift is if I hit a home run. No, the true gift of worship is the fact that we have Jesus Christ within us. The Holy Spirit, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Like, picture that, guys. You literally have, like, the Holy Spirit dwells within our hearts, and we're not able to just talk with him, but we're able to commune and experience the God of the universe. Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth, the former of every star in the galaxy, knows you by name, and he wants to be with you always. If you are a follower of Jesus, he dwells inside of you wanting every bit of your worship. Throughout everything that could be made on this earth, God knew there had to be you. And I just want to also bring into kind of the inspiration of when I was writing this, I felt really inspired by this one worship artist. Does anyone know Abby Gamboa? Abby Gamboa, any worship artist? Yeah. Abby Gamboa, she's one of the singers for, like, Upper Room, and she is an absolutely amazing singer who has very deep lyrics. And I just wanted to read one of her songs, which I encourage you guys to listen to. She says, there's no motive, there's no hidden catch. Here's my all, and I don't want it back. Like a fragrance broken on the floor, let my worship be pure. I just encourage you guys, like, let your worship be pure. Don't just give the good things, give the bad things, give Jesus your all, pour it out to him. If there is one thing that I want you guys to get out of this sermon, this will be it. Pour your love out to Jesus. Let it flow. Do not hold anything back. My second point is don't let your desire to be right outweigh your desire to worship Jesus. Luke 7:39-46, back to the main passage, when it says, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." Simon the Pharisee in this moment was so focused on being right, on judging who was sinful and who was worthy of God, that he completely missed the heart of worship unfolding before him. I just want to tell a little story. Back to Christian Union, when I had had my first night there, the first night was just a bit of fellowship when I got to meet everybody. And at that night, I got to meet people from all over the world. I got to meet people from actually Nigeria, Ghana. I actually got to meet my boyfriend, who's actually from Madrid, Spain. And I got to meet people from all over the world. And it has been such a blessing to be able to hear how Jesus has affected their lives and see how the gospel has been spread and living out the Great Commission all over the world. After the first night, I remember I went to the second night there. This is Friday night. Second night was Saturday. I remember that Saturday night was their first prayer night. I remember I came in and I was like, man, I'm so excited. I already love Christian Union so much. This is going to be such a great experience. And I remember one of the leaders there, his name is Tim, Pastor Tim. He is an absolutely incredible man. He led us into prayer, and I was like, okay, I've done prayer nights before, kind of being led in silence, and then we're going to feel led, if we want to speak up, to speak forward what the Lord is showing us. Once Tim was praying, he ends up saying some point, he's like, "Now I want all you guys to pray at the same time." And I was like sitting there like eyes closed, but I was like, what did you just say right now? Like, do you just say pray all at the same time? And I had never done that before, but I was like, okay, it'll just be like a bunch of like tiny people like mumbling. No, there are people, like one of my friends, Oni, I showed you up there, she just started like, "Abba, Father, Father, God." She's like screaming out all these names of Jesus and like all these names of God. And I'm just sitting there like, what? Like, this is crazy. Like, I was like, this is crazy. Like, this is insane. And then one of my friends, David, he just like, in Jesus' name. He's like going crazy. And I just see these people and I'm sitting there. I think it was either with Eden or my friend Lauren. And I remember just looking over. I'm just like, I'm scared. I want to go home. I was like, this is like nothing I've ever experienced before. And I remember that I was like silently judging these people when I'm praying. Like, I'm just sitting there like my hands wide open, kind of silent. I'm like, oh, this is a bit nerve-wracking here. But I remember that like I became accustomed to it later on, and I realized that in that moment, it wasn't me. I should not have been judging them for how they worship, but I realized that their hearts weren't against the Lord. They were worshiping Jesus. It was just in a different way of worship. In John 4, 23, 24, it says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." These incredible people who love Jesus were worshiping in spirit and in truth. They were just truthfully giving everything to Jesus in this moment. But just because it was different, a different form of worship, does not mean that it was wrong. I quickly realized that I was quick to judge when their hearts were based on what I felt, when my heart was based on whether it was right or whether it was wrong. Instead of focusing on what I thought was right, I should have been focusing on who is right and who makes things right and who makes things wrong. Also, that being said, worship has to be done in spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and truthfully for Jesus, not yourself. Just as a body, 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Yeah, we were all given one spirit to drink. There we go. In this, it's not worship. Like, what they were doing wasn't not worship. It was. But we're all part of one spirit. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. We're all a part of the kingdom of God. We're all a part of it. But it's all many parts form one body. And not every part's going to be the same. Like no one's going to be like, oh, we don't need this or we don't need that. No, it's all needed. It's all needed. It's all worship to Jesus. And in this moment, Simon was thinking, with his pride, he was so quick to judge what is right and what is wrong, he didn't even realize his own pride, and so quick to point out her sins as well, when he should have been focusing on how to worship Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." These verses remind us that just as each part of the body has a unique role, every form of worship, whether through singing, prayer, service, art, or even silence, is a valuable and essential expression of the unified body of Christ, all empowered by the same Holy Spirit. As long as it is done in spirit and in truth, then it is worship. But I want to encourage you guys, and I wanted to ask a question to y'all. While you're worshiping, where is your heart posture at? You would know it. Are you raising your hands just because your friends are, or because that cute person in the back is like, oh, I'm gonna see if they see me worship Jesus? But there's also, are you giving it all to Jesus? Are you truly giving your heart to the Lord and not expecting anything back? Are you pouring it all out? Listen to this. When we get so hardened to what we believe the truth is, we lose sight of the joy of worship. Simon's pride got in the way of experiencing true worship. And I want to, like I said before, I want to encourage you guys this again. Don't hold back for Jesus. Let your love for Jesus pour out. Let it be done in spirit and in truth, and don't sit and judge how you think other people should worship. And you should focus whether you're worshiping in spirit and truth and just giving it all to Jesus. He doesn't just want one part of you. Again, he wants all of you. The third point is, if you have little forgiveness, you have little love. In Luke 7:47-50, it says, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Throughout this passage, we're seeing all these different people come up to Jesus in this moment, and like not even come up to him, just whispering among themselves, saying, "Who is this man to forgive sins?" And their minds are saying, like, "Oh, this is blasphemy. This should not happen." When in reality, it is shown that true love and worship flow from the heart that knows it's been forgiven. Simon the Pharisee's heart was hardened towards Jesus because, not just because he didn't know the law. No, he probably knew it like the back of his hand. He was a Pharisee. He knew it. That's how he was a Pharisee. He probably embraced it. It was probably his entire life. But it wasn't because of lack of knowledge. It was a lack of knowing that he has been forgiven and accepting God's grace. The sinful woman's actions were not directed towards trying to earn forgiveness. She wasn't sitting there like, "Lord, like, this will make me forgiven. This will make me forgiven. You will forgive me if I pour this jar of perfume on your feet. You will forgive me if I weep here in front of you." No, what she was doing, it wasn't trying to gain forgiveness. She'd already been forgiven. And that action, what she did, it was an act of gratitude, an act of expressing that. It was her gratitude and surrender and knowing that Jesus has already forgiven her. Loving Jesus doesn't just come through your outward actions. No, true worship and true love towards Jesus stems from understanding that God has grace upon you and has forgiven you. Think of unforgiveness as a wall. That when you're running, let's say you're in a race. Let's say that you're so close to Jesus, but then all of a sudden a wall pops up in front of you. That wall is unforgiveness. And the more you have unforgiveness within your heart, there is no unforgiveness in the Lord's heart. He has forgiven so freely. But have you accepted that? The higher the walls go, shows the higher your unforgiveness goes. I have heard many people throughout my life say, oh, I wish I could follow Jesus. I wish I could follow Jesus, but ... Or, I wish Jesus could love me, but Jesus could never love me for what I have done. Shame, fear, anxiety, it is all a form of what the enemy has placed in your life to try and drag you away from the Lord's forgiveness towards you. Those sayings of saying, Jesus could never love me, or I wish I could follow Jesus, but ... It's not the Lord saying that. The enemy is in your head trying to put your mind through shame, fear, anxiety, through any sinful actions, lies, lying, porn, lust, having all of these actions brings more shame upon yourself. And that moment where you experienced Jesus and you have heard of the gospel, that separation can hold you back entirely from knowing Jesus. That unforgiveness and you tearing down that wall is what will truly unite you with Jesus. But it is the question that asks, are you willing to let that go? Jesus, again, he doesn't just want one part of you. He wants every part of you. He wants all of you. He wants your desires, your comforts, the good moments in your life. He wants every triumph in your life, every good moment, but he also wants the bad. He wants your struggles. He wants your anxieties. And he just says, let me take it and let me love you. Let me love you. Experiencing Jesus' love to the full is the most full life that you could ever live. Loving the Lord and going out and living out the Great Commission is understanding that you are forgiven, that we are broken, and that we are imperfect people, but the Lord is perfect, and that he loves you, and that he wants you to love him back. And again, I want to remind you guys, that just loving Jesus to the full and pouring it out in front of him. The last verse, it says, 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The sinful woman, her faith has saved her. But through her faith, she had this deep, abiding love in Jesus, that her faith would not have been possible if she had not loved Jesus. Her hope that he is the Son of God and that he will restore her only came from her love and knowing that she is forgiven. Simon's lack of forgiveness in his heart allowed him, made his heart so hardened to understand that this is just the law. I can't be loved any deeper than that. But the Lord wants to give you all of his love. But will you break down that wall in order to receive it? The last thing I want to go into is a time of communion. One thing that I have really learned at Dartmouth, and I've grown so much in understanding it, is communion, and understanding the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and how powerful it is. I want to encourage you guys, I want to encourage you guys that when you take the body and blood of Jesus Christ, it is not just a piece of bread and some juice, no. It is you taking in him to yourself, and you're realizing that he has broken his body for you, that he has given up his blood for you, his great sacrifice on the cross, before it was done, every single time that there was a sinful action, they had to take a perfect, precious animal and slaughter it for their sins. So imagine, like, you lie about something, and then all of a sudden your mom's like, oh, sweetie, gotta get Penny from the stables, you know, gotta go kill a lamb. You know, it's like, and it's like you had to do that every single time something bad happened, you know, and it's like, it was just a never-ending, you had to give something in order to be clean again, but the thing is, the Lord has already given you, he's already made you clean, and he wants you, just all of you. Sorry, I'm trying to find the verses in here. Actually, we can just put it on the screen. Yes. So in Matthew 26, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. So you guys can take the bread now. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood for the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I want to just end us out in prayer. Before we do that, there's one thing I really want to emphasize to you guys. There's a challenge in your life group sermon notes in the back, and it says that there's a certain song that really also inspired me throughout this writing this sermon. It's called Pour My Love on You, also by Abigail Boa. I love her. She's a great artist. But I really encourage you guys just to listen to it and to understand what pouring the oil on Jesus' feet looked like and what that meant and how beautiful it was and how just giving your entire self. Jesus doesn't want a fake version of yourself. He doesn't want just one third of you, two thirds. He wants every bit of you. So as we end out here, I just want to end us in prayer. So if you bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Dear Lord Jesus, God, I thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for how good you are, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice, for you coming down and just giving every bit of yourself for us, Lord. Lord, I just pray right now that these amazing high school students, Lord, that they just understand you, and that they recognize you, Lord, but that they also just fall in love with you deeper every single day. And that they just pour their love onto you, Lord Jesus, that nothing is held back. That the wall of unforgiveness is just broken down, Lord, in Jesus' name. That any shame, any guilt, any anxiety, any fear of any sins that they've created in the past, Lord, may you just break it down, Lord, and may they just accept your love, God. I thank you so much for just who you are, Lord Jesus, and for allowing us to know who is perfect, knowing you, the perfect Abba Father, God. I am just so grateful for you allowing me to be up here, Lord, and I just pray that I was able to speak to at least one person in this room tonight, Lord. I just pray that everyone hears of your glory and that they give all the glory back to you, and that after this sermon that the glory is all given to you, Lord, that throughout this that all glory has been back to you, Lord. I just thank you for how loving you are, God, and that you are so merciful and gracious upon us, and we do not deserve it, yet you so freely give it, Lord. We just want you, God. Thank you. We want nothing else, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.